But notice the prescription for peace recorded, the cure for that which is worry, anxiety, and fretfulness, the prescription for peace. But in everything, every little thing, let, and it's in the continuing verse, keep on letting your request be made known unto God.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you, thank you, thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Let me remind you, oftentimes I get tied up with my very high interest in the subject of the day, the issue of the day, and forget to remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We have Dr. Reed Sheftall with us today. We're talking about COVID. We're looking at the COVID update, or we should perhaps call it the COVID cover-up, as we all have come to know it as being. Dr. Sheftall, before we take our next callers, let me ask you to do this. Some of our listeners may not have tuned in before, may not have met you before. Give our listeners a little tidbit of your credentials, your background, and why we're having this discussion with you today.
Okay, thank you. But before I do that, can I just thank Jim for calling in? And
yes.
We really encourage people to call in, don't we? We love hearing from the public.
Absolutely.
Especially if they disagree with me.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. About me, well, gosh, I consider myself something of an expert on this because very early on I discovered some things that made no medical sense that the authorities were pushing on the public. But my background is I was a physics major at MIT. I went to medical school and surgery residency and then plastic surgery and then cardiac surgery for children eventually. But the biggest credentials I have as far as COVID are concerned is that I've written 2 books. And as you know, Dr. Youngblood, mm-hmm. you've written a lot of books.
Yes.
And you know, you have to really invest yourself deeply into a subject to write
a
book
subject.
On it. You have to know the subject or you can't function at all.
That's right.
So I've done a lot of research on this. I've written 2 books, one of which was about 300 pages, and the other one is 2,000 pages. And when you write 2,000 pages on something, as you know, you have a lot of knowledge about it. And so I consider myself an absolute expert on this, and I've made some insights that no one else has made. I was the first on 16 major issues to contradict the authorities, and it turns out I was right. And I'm the only person on 4 major issues. In other words, the people that are on my side, if you will, still don't understand those 4 issues. And one of the things that I brought up recently is that there was no SARS-CoV-2 virus. I can prove it very easily. And the book that spells that out is going to be very short. It's only going to be about 40 pages long. And it's going to come out next week. And it was in volume 1 of Sanction the COVID Murders, this 2,000-page grand opus that I'm doing. But it was obscured a little bit. And so I'm just coming right out with the proof in the second volume, just to make sure people get it. Because when you realize there was no virus, that it was all made up, boy, your whole perspective on it will change. And I hope it changes enough for people to not agree to the vaccine next time.
For those that are listening, give us a little thumbnail sketch of your statement that it did not exist.
Okay, there's three pillars upon which the existence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus are based. Three pillars. Number one, cytopathic effects. Number two, photographic evidence. And number three, sequencing of the genome. The powers that be and the virologists have failed miserably on all three counts. So I've crushed these three pillars, and therefore the virus doesn't exist. As far as cytopathic effects are concerned, the way we prove that it doesn't exist is by running the same methodology to produce cytopathic effects without adding the human specimen. Therefore, the virus could not be in the mix. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we get the same destruction of cells and the production of exosomes, not viruses, that we got when we added the human specimen. But when you hold the human specimen back, you're holding back any potential that a virus could be involved in it, in the breaking up of the cells. Right. Because as you remember from high school biology, the way viruses reproduce is they get inside a cell, they make lots of copies of themselves by hijacking the replication machinery, and then the cell gets filled up with viruses so much it bursts open and releases all these viruses. Okay?
Right.
So they're trying to prove this experimentally, and it turns out it does that even when you don't even add the virus. And the round particles that are produced are called exosomes. They are always produced when there's cell destruction. So that refutes the cytopathic effect. Photographic evidence, they are claiming that those exosomes are virus particles. But they couldn't be, because we didn't even add the virus into the mix when we got the cell destruction. What caused the cell destruction was they add in antibiotics and antimycotics, which is an antifungal, mm-hmm. to keep the cell culture free of bacteria and fungi. But those antibiotics and antimycotics they use are toxic to the cell line that they always choose, which are African green monkey kidney cells. Mm-hmm. Why would they choose an African green monkey to be the cell line instead of human lung cells?
Makes no sense.
Because it supposedly infects human lungs, right?
Right.
Pneumocytes in the lungs. But we don't use that as a cell line because we can't get the cells to break open. Mm-hmm. But we use African green monkey kidney cells because gentamicin and amphotericin B are toxic to them. So we know it's going to break open even without the viruses. That's why the virologists do it. And you might say, well, don't they do control experiments where they hold back the human specimen and run through the methodology? The answer is no. Can you believe that since 1954, virologists have not done any control experiments? Because John Enders, the doctor that won the Nobel Prize in 1954, did do a control experiment, and it showed that even when you hold the virus particles back, the cytopathic effects occur. He did the control experiment, but he came up with a truly bizarre conclusion that there must have been hidden viruses in the monkey kidney cells, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So the virologists picked up on that, and they refused to do control experiments. And of course, the journals like the New England Journal of Medicine and the Lancet and the JAMA, the big medical journals,
yes,
are in on it. So they allow papers to be published without control studies. But if you do it on any other subject, they'll say, where are the control studies? Rejected.
It bolsters their position, generally speaking.
Huh?
It bolsters their general opinion, so that's the reason they publish it.
Yeah, well, it's beneficial to the big pharma.
Yes, absolutely.
Because big pharma buys all the ads for the magazines. It keeps them in business.
That's right.
Okay? And big pharma would probably go out of business if they didn't have vaccines to push on the public all the time.
That's right.
Have you ever seen the picture of a modern-day baby versus a baby from the 1960s? Back in the 1960s, say you or I would have gotten about six vaccines in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Six different vaccines. Now it's 92 or something. It's ridiculously expanded. And there's pictures on the internet of babies with like 92 syringes around the baby compared to six from before.
And
this has gotten out of control.
And it's been reduced some now because of Robert Kennedy?
Yeah, they've tried to do ACIP meetings where they really want to have people prove that these things are efficacious. Yes. Are they going to take them off the market? Or
and
take them off the children's vaccine schedule, the mandatory
schedule
to school? That's where the problem is.
Yes.
Because also, when you put it on the childhood vaccine schedule, you get blanket immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a terrible thing? There's no other product that's produced in the world that gets blanket immunity for liability.
Hold your thought for just a moment.
But let me just tell you about... Okay.
I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Okay. Kenneth, go with the question and comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning.
We have been lied to. Yes, we have been lied to. And I'm saying we have been falsely accused of everything.
Absolutely.
They're trying to control the general public.
That's right, Kenneth.
They're trying to control us.
They have seen, by the way, they, speaking of the general government, and especially those that are supposed to be looking out for our health, CDC and FDA, they have discovered that Americans will bow and bend and simply acquiesce to whatever is said that we must do if we can get enough scare, frightening anxiety out into the marketplace, then everybody's going to bow and bend. And, Kenneth, I believe that we're on the very cusp of witnessing that attempt once again in America. In my opinion, they're setting the date for about August or September, as the recent conversation that I heard on the news where they're talking about their meeting and want to have a vaccination ready by August. It's not funny, but I laugh at it because of knowing how gullible Americans seem to be, and it's my prayer that that won't be in the future. Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, and for your program and the focus of your program, always emphasizing truth and sound information as against lies, deception, and your own thinking. So my concern, I'm happy for our guest today, I have been thinking about this for some time, so I seized the opportunity to ask it. I'm concerned about the shingles. I would love you to comment on the shingles, because I have up in my 80s, and I have no recollection as to whether I ever had the shingles vaccination or whatever. So I've been thinking as to whether I should take it now or anything like that. So I'm happy to hear what our doctor.
That's a good question, Lily. Hang on, and let's ask Dr. Sheftall to respond.
Well, the shingles, the theory of the shingles is that it's the latent form of chickenpox. In other words, if you had chickenpox when you were young, the viruses supposedly live in the dorsal root ganglia of your peripheral nerves. And when you're immunocompromised when you get older, or some other stimulus occurs, those viruses can be reactivated and can crawl out the peripheral nerve to your skin and cause a horrible rash, which is very painful. Okay, that's the theory. And there is a vaccine for it. And a lot of old people get this vaccine because they're concerned that their immune system is going to get weaker as they get older, and they're very much at risk for shingles. Now, if you know a little bit about the shingles disease itself, which is called herpes zoster, by the way, that's the medical term for it, it always stays in a dermatome on your skin, and it always comes back to the same place. That's because it's living in the peripheral nerve, so it can only come out and express itself as a rash on your skin in the same place every time. Okay, so you get people with bands of scarring that are only go halfway across their body because your peripheral nerves reach around your torso, and you get stripes on your torso, chest, and abdomen, or you can get it on your face too in the trigeminal nerve distribution, which is we call it 5-1, 5-2, and 5-3 for the frontal, maxillary, and mandibular divisions of the trigeminal nerve, which is cranial nerve number 5. Now, I don't want to get too esoteric here. The question Lily has, I think, is that she wants to know whether she should get the vaccine or not. And I'm sorry, Lily, you know, I'm very careful about what I say, and I don't like to say anything I can't prove. And I have not looked at the data from the studies on the shingles vaccine enough to advise you on whether the numbers bear fruit. In other words, whether it shows that it's efficacious or not. I just haven't looked at it recently enough, and I apologize for that. It's not my specialty, so I'm not looking at things like that too often. So I hate to back out on you here a little bit, but I don't want to advise you the wrong way. So I can't tell you whether to get the vaccine or not. I just haven't looked at the research recently.
One of the things, Lily, that this is me, my most humble opinion. When I have something that is an ailment or a problem, speak to the doctor will give information, and then here I am. I go do the deep dive research and see what research says, and then I get the answers, go back to the physician, say, research says this, this, and this. Do you agree with it or disagree with it? Research says I need to be cautious here. It could cause repercussions here. What should I do with that? And then I make the decision based on weighing the evidence as to what is research, what research shows and what is being told. I have discovered, and I don't say this as an affront to Dr. Sheftall at all, but I've discovered that many physicians will give you advice of taking a medication that they have no earthly idea of the side effects. And I believe the same is true today with vaccinations and shots and things that stabbed in the arm, pills and serums that go into the body as to what it will do. I know from experience that the many times a physician will well-meaningly pull up his screen and go to CDC protocol. CDC says this, and that's what the physician says to do. And many times, in my most humble opinion, CDC has covered something or lied about something or has in some fashion been, how would you say, guilty of simply bowing to Big Pharma. So, Lily, I would suggest prayer and analysis and personal research and ask the physician and then make a judgment call based on what you feel God would have you to do to protect your health. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Sheftall, I'm looking at an article, very interesting article. The article simply says, headlines, U.S. officials delayed warning the public about heart inflammation risk from COVID shots. The article reads in part, U.S. health officials knew about the risk of myocarditis from COVID-19 vaccines, but downplayed the concern and delayed any information going to the public about the risk. Does that tell us that CDC was part of the cover-up?
Yes. Well, the CDC was part of it for sure. I mean, look at Rochelle Walensky. She's admonishing young mothers for not injecting their six-month-old babies with this thing. And she knew all this stuff about myocarditis and everything.
Yes.
But there are a lot of other reasons why this vaccine injected poison into us. I mean, you have to understand that. The vaccine was composed of modified RNA, which is a pseudouridination at the N1 position of messenger RNA on the uracil residues. And that makes the RNA last very long. Normally, RNA gets consumed and denatured in a matter of minutes or hours, at the most a day. Whereas these things have been in our bodies now for years, the modified RNA, and it keeps pumping out the spike protein, and the spike protein punches holes, for lack of a better description, in our blood-brain barrier. We're learning that now.
Yes.
Not only that, but the vaccine causes ribosomal frame shifting, which is a little bit of an esoteric thing. I'd have to talk about genome sequencing to explain that to you, and codons and everything. But it causes a very dangerous thing called ribosomal frame shifting, and shifting from IgG3 to IgG4, which is associated with cancer. And that may be why you can't get an appointment with your oncologist right now. So many people have cancer from taking this vaccine. So this thing was poison that they gave us, and they mandated it, and they knew that it was dangerous, as you're pointing out with the myocarditis and other things that we've discovered since then. And to me, it's murder. It's stochastic murder. Stochastic means you can predict it from a statistical basis, but you can't determine who individually will die. In other words, if you know that a vaccine program is going to kill 10% of the people, 10% of the people, but you don't know which 10%, that's stochastic murder. You're still committing murder, but you don't know which person, individual person, is going to die. I think Roger just told us we have a caller.
I believe Mary's on the line. Mary, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood and Dr. I'm a great supporter of Franklin Graham. I admire his work and just respect him and love him. But during the COVID push for vaccines, he actually said that all good Christians should be getting the vaccine. I found this very disappointing. And yes. If you recall, he himself developed myocarditis. So, and ended up in the hospital. So that's really all I wanted to add to the discussion. And would you comment on it, please?
Will do. Mary, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Sheftall?
Sorry for interrupting you there, Pastor. You're the expert on Franklin Graham, much more than me, and I'm sorry to jump in there. The only thing I wanted to say to Mary was, Franklin Graham, as great a man as he may be, is not a medical person.
That's right.
So he was subject to propaganda just like everybody else. And so he was trying to do the Christian thing by getting people to protect themselves and those around them by taking a vaccine that he was told would protect him and the people around him. But I'm telling you, it did not protect anybody. You were getting a vaccine to protect you from a virus that does not exist.
Absolutely.
How could that possibly be helpful?
I'm familiar with the date, the time, the place when Franklin Graham made that statement. I watched some of his statements on television. I read some of his statements via the internet. And at the time, I was absolutely petrified that he would say such a thing. But here's the bottom line, as Mary alluded to. Many denominations, Southern Baptist denominations, Presbyterian, Methodist, etc., denominational leaders bought into it on the basis that this is good, the government takes care of us, the government said it, we need to obey it, and those same denominational leaders said to the churches, shut the churches down, it'll just be for a brief period of time, it's okay, not recognizing and realizing you're bowing to a lie and you're making the churches subject to the government's whims and wishes, and therefore multitudes of churches are still hurt and harmed today as a result of it. And as Mary just said, Franklin Graham did develop serious heart problems, myocarditis and others, as a result of that. I think in retrospect, in my most humble opinion, if in a quiet, private session, you could ask Franklin Graham, would you do that again? And in my opinion, he'd say absolutely no.
Yeah.
I believe that he'd have to be as dumb as a rock to say, yes, I would advocate for it again. It is my prayer that he would not, because we're on the, my opinion, and I'm not a scare tactic person, my most humble opinion, we're on the very edge of a new breakthrough from Big Pharma, CDC, and FDA that says, this is going to happen, you're going to die if you do not bow to what the government says. And I'm just not going to do it. And it's not a matter of being against the government or in some way wanting to be an uprising and say that the citizens ought not to listen. But I believe we need to do some investigation. And Dr. Sheftall, I'm looking at an article. Headline says, Biden officials knew of the deadly COVID vaccination and serious long-term health risk, but did not warn the public.
Yes. Now, I need to say something about this, because this is very upsetting. The FDA doctors, Food and Drug Administration doctors, did the research and knew that children were dying from this.
Yes.
And they told the Biden administration about it, mm-hmm. and they kept it quiet while children continued to get vaccinated and killed by this vaccine. And I'll tell you, I don't understand why the public is not absolutely livid or outraged by this. Because, I mean, like I said last week, you know, I'm not put off by the pharmaceutical companies or the government, because I already knew they were crooks.
Mm-hmm.
But the general public just bowed down and allowed this to happen to them, including the children who are not old enough to really understand what this is all about. I mean, and they should have done their own research. That's
right.
What we're talking about here with Mary and everybody else.
Absolutely.
Really. And Franklin Graham.
Absolutely.
If you don't know about the subject matter, you should not weigh in on something,
mm-hmm.
because it'll bite you.
Right.
Because these things are far more complicated than people think. Now, I'm not saying I don't want to hear the opinion of people, but please express it as an opinion or a speculation. Or say that you haven't looked into it when you tell people to get the vaccine. I mean, we had Jennifer Aniston, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All these people were telling
everyone to get the vaccine and saying, you're not a good person if you don't get the vaccine. And remember on the internet, people always say, I got vaccinated. They were wearing buttons and
the
stuff.
Buttons, yeah.
And I'm cringing every time I saw it, because I'm thinking to myself, You guys don't know anything about the poison that's in that vaccine, and you're telling other people to do it?
Well, the Biden administration used the Hollywood elitist to do the advertisers, Walgators, for taking the vaccine.
Howard Stern, who has we're on the radio now, he has a hugely popular radio show, and he's just going crazy for people at people that wouldn't take the vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Howard Stern doesn't know anything about medicine.
Nothing.
I'd love it for him to put me on there and have a debate with me over it. But he didn't know anything about it. He was afraid that he was going to die, so he wanted everybody to get the vaccine. It was so ridiculous. It was unbelievable. But I'll tell you, he has a lot of push.
Yes. And I go back
to... A lot of influence. He was a propaganda specialist.
Well, I go back to what Mary was saying, and it's the propagandists that put this out. I'm familiar with pastors in general and their stand on this subject. And I'm familiar with one pastor with a pretty large church that had all the songbooks taken out of the church because if you touch them, you could get COVID. Everybody had to call in on a Friday or Saturday to make reservations to be in church on Sunday. And then as you'd come in, you'd have to seat 6 feet apart. Everybody had to wear a mask. And the pastor, even though was being told, admonished, encouraged not to do that, then laughably, one of his messages before it, he said, I've been vaccinated, I've been boosted, and boosted again, and boosted, and look at me, I don't wear horns yet. Kind of a brag and an admonition to the ones in the church to take the vaccination.
Yeah, and see, that's where stochastic murder comes in.
Yes, absolutely.
The people that pushed this vaccine on people knew that a certain percentage of them were going to die. It wasn't having any benefit whatsoever, no effectiveness at all, not safe and not effective, and yet they still push it on people, and when one person survives it, they say, see, look at that. Well, when you have stochastic murder, you are only killing, you're killing a certain percentage of the population, but again, you don't know which individual will die. So that pastor that was saying, look at me, I haven't grown horns, he was one of the lucky 90%.
That's right.
That didn't die from it. Oh, my Lord.
One final question as we have to watch the clock and realize we're about to be cut off the air. one of the questions, would you say that Dr. Fauci is guilty of stochastic murder?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. He was involved in every single aspect of this. Every aspect, he knew what was going on. You should never think that these people are stupid that were involved in creating this. I mean, we're running out of time, and
we have
to respect Roger. He's the almighty.
They were guilty, and they're still guilty, and need to be caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced for that murder. And I believe that that's exactly what must be done.
But absolutely.
What I'm finding today, even the present CIA covering up that which had taken place under the Biden administration. I don't understand that. That's a theme for another show, though. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face